It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Three candidates have made their pitch to replace Kyle Harrison as a Champaign City Council member in District 3. The council will choose next week between Mary Ann's Diner owner Tony Pomonas, retired teacher Lynn Anderson, Barbara Kenny Langendorf, who runs a home construction company, and former council member Vic McIntosh, who was the only candidate not present at last night's council meeting. He appeared in a pre-recorded video statement. Meanwhile, Harrison, whose family is moving outside the district, says he had no idea what to expect before taking the seat.
I'm being a numbers person. I think we make about $1 an hour. To serve on it. So it really is giving back to the community. It's giving your time, your energy, effort, and really trying to make this city a better place.
Harrison has served just over 3 years on the council, running unopposed in 2009 after McIntosh decided he was stepping down. Harrison's resignation takes effect Friday. Voters in Vermilion County will decide this fall whether the county board can seek out a private operator for its nursing home. The Vermilion County Board voted unanimously last night to put the referendum on the future of Vermilion Manor on the November ballot. County Board Chairman Jim McMahon says the state owed the nursing home $1.8 million and that its payments are regularly more than 90 days late. If the referendum passes this fall, McMahon says the Vermilion County Board would not act immediately, but he says if the state payments continue to be late, they would have to seek out a buyer for Vermilion Manor.
Our message is we want to keep it a nursing home. We understand that circumstances beyond our control is the state of Illinois, and we're dealing with that as a reality. And because of that reality, we're asking the voters to give us authority that if we get into trouble because the state don't pay their bills, give us the option to sell it and keep it a nursing home.
McMahon says a private company would be in a better position than the county to operate Vermilion Manor, since a private company would have more authority to borrow money. Swelling prison populations could get some relief under a measure state legislators approved. It would reinstate an early release program for certain inmates. As Amanda Vinicky reports, Governor Pat Quinn is keeping quiet about where he stands.
Letting inmates out before they've served their full sentences is a sensitive subject for Quinn. It nearly cost him holding onto the governor's office 2 years ago. His administration had secretly instituted a program that let out inmates who'd barely spent any time behind bars. But legislators from both parties, who late last month approved a new early release program, say the practice needs to be resumed to save the state money and alleviate overcrowding in prisons.
Well, the bill hasn't arrived. I'm anxious to see it.
That's Quinn, who says he can't review the measure until it's on his desk.
I would say that's pretty disingenuous.
And that's Charlie Wheeler, a longtime State House journalist. Wheeler says it's true the governor can't act on a measure until he gets the paperwork, but he can certainly begin reading it.
As we speak, I'm sitting here with a copy of the bill.
Quinn, and anyone else who wants to, can find Senate Bill 2621 online. Just go to ilga.gov. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Concerns over the sort of inmates that would be housed at an Illinois prison have held up efforts by the federal government to purchase it from the state. As Brian Mackey reports, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder Tuesday tried to calm those fears.
The prison in Thompson in northwest Illinois has been a $140 million white elephant for state government, built but never fully opened. A few years ago, the Obama administration floated the idea of buying the prison. The plan was to use it to house inmates held at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. That prompted a backlash from critics who say they don't want high-level terrorism suspects in the U.S. Although Congress passed a budget forbidding federal money from being used to transfer such inmates here, critics worry Obama could find a way around that. Attorney General Holder tried to put that notion to rest before a Senate committee in Washington, heard here on C-SPAN.
We will not move people from Guantanamo, regardless of the state of the law, to Thompson. That is my pledge as Attorney General.
The plan to buy Thompson has bipartisan support from local congressmen, but the Republican chairman of the U.S. House committee that oversees the federal prison budget has yet to sign off, and that's holding up the purchase. I'm Brian Mackey.
Phone calls and emails warning of protests have forced a Chicago-area club to cancel a conference by a controversial Islamic group. The U.S. branch of the international Hizb Tahrir movement still plans to hold a conference in the area on June 17th. The Daily Herald of Arlington Heights reported today the Meadows Club in suburban Rolling Meadows pulled out of the event after a deluge of calls and emails. Organizers were expecting 1,000 people to attend the event under the title Liberation by Revelation, Muslims Marching Toward Victory. Hizb Tahrir says it rejects violence, but it is banned in several countries, including Pakistan, where it advocates that government's overthrow. The group seeks to unite the Muslim world under a single government following strict Islamic law. The Mattoon City Council has fired its city administrator. The Mattoon Journal-Gazette reports that council members met for more than 3 hours in closed session before voting 4-1 to end city administrator Sue McLaughlin's contract without cause. The newspaper reports that means she walks away from the almost $100,000 per year post with a severance package worth an estimated $50,000. McLaughlin had faced criticism for her proposal to sell 4.7 acres of land at Lake Mattoon to her fiancé for about $41,000. Critics contend that offer was too low and the property should be put up for auction. Councilmember Chris Rankin voted against the firing, saying he thought McLaughlin's proposal did not merit termination. Indiana regulators have released a proposed water permit for a planned $2.9 billion plant that will convert coal into synthetic natural gas. Opponents of the plant planned for the Ohio River city of Rockport say it will worsen regional air pollution and prove costly to ratepayers. A public hearing on the permit is set for July 10th at Rockport's South Spencer High School. The Evansville Courier and Press reports developer Indiana Gasification says the plant will reuse its wastewater and much of its collected stormwater. The Indiana Finance Authority has signed a 30-year contract to buy the plant's gas at a fixed long-term rate and resell it. The contract's prices will make up 17% of Indiana ratepayers' bills. Airport officials in the southern Illinois city of Marion say it may be time to build a new terminal in hopes of luring in more charter flights. WSIL-TV reports plans are afoot to build a new terminal near one that's now nearly 40 years old. The new building would be about the same size at about 16,000 square feet, but designed to handle higher traffic. Airport Director Doug Kimmel says the existing terminal is inefficient and outdated, and he says maintenance costs continue to climb. Officials say they'll begin drafting a design for the new terminal and hope to have it built in 3 years. They say they have about half the funding for the $10 million project and will look to the Federal Aviation Administration for the rest. And attorneys for a Northwestern Indiana school district say three eighth-grade girls posed a true threat to other students when they were expelled for Facebook comments about killing some of their classmates. The Griffith Public Schools said in a response to a federal lawsuit filed on behalf of the girls that two of the threatened students were so fearful that they missed school time. The American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana is representing the expelled girls. An ACLU attorney says it was clear the girls were joking because their remarks were accompanied by smiley faces and other emoticons, along with internet abbreviations for laughter, such as LOL. The school district's response says the girls' comments are not protected by the First Amendment, and the district refutes arguments that the statements were made in jest. You can find more news all the time at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.